This psalm is one of those psalms that's got a chorus to it. The chorus keeps going over and over again. There are 26 verses to Psalm 136, and 26 times we see His mercy endures forever. This is a common phrase that we see throughout the scriptures. We see it in Ezra chapter 3, after they had begun rebuilding the temple. It says they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever toward Israel. And then all the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Another portion of Scripture, by the way, these are not all the portions of Scripture, just a few I just want to give you. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, very, very famous moment when King Jehoshaphat was flipping out about the Ammonites, who were bearing down on them and looked like they were going to win. And he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord says, don't worry about this. This battle is not yours. This battle belongs to God. And so, and to prove it belonged to God, God says, do this, set the musicians out in front and sing this song. And they sang, His mercy endures forever. And they just kept singing that. And then also, Jeremiah, and by the way, they won the battle. The Ammonites lost big time. Jeremiah chapter 33, and this is so great. This is when the Israelites were being taken out of Jerusalem. They were being brought into Babylon. They had lost everything. The siege had been, you know, causing great trouble, of course. And then, but God encourages them as they're being taken away. In Jeremiah 33, verses 10 and 11, thus says the Lord, again, there shall be heard in this place of which you say, it is desolate without man, without beast, in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man, without inhabitant, without beast, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endures forever. And those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return as at first, says the Lord. So the Lord's saying, yeah, things look desolate right now. You're going to return, and you're going to be singing this song. And that is, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. And so that's what we're going to do here. One more thing before we get into this. I really don't expect to spend a lot of time on this, really. But this is a matter of focus. I am like a lot of people, maybe worse, in that I have the ability to focus on something that is very negative. I have the ability to focus on the problem. I have a tendency to worry for the things that might happen that are not good, that wouldn't, you know, pass my inspection. And so often I can get mopey. And I'm looking at this psalm, and after you would say, I would love to hear what the melody was to this, you know. But after reading through this, and you can read it over and over again, you read it one time, and 26 times you have said, His mercy endures forever. Mercy being compassion. How He cares for His people, how He looks out after His people. If you look at the things being said here, there is no way that you could be mopey. In fact, whatever's going on, and just as it reads in Isaiah 26, verse 3, He'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. You have your mind on the things that, as it reads in chapter 4 of Philippians, you know, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtues, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. But what are we meditating on? What are we doing? Where's our head? And so, with that said, tonight is going to be special because we're going to go through this psalm and we're just going to sing thanksgiving songs. We're just going to thank the Lord because he's good. We're going to thank him for everything he's done. And so, with that said, that was the introduction. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We want to thank you so much for all that you've done in our lives. It is amazing that you look on us with pity. You know our frame. You know we're dust. You know we're vapor. You know we're weak. And how wonderful it is, Lord, that you move on our behalf. That your thoughts for us are more numerous than the grains of sand. How amazing this is, Lord. Your love for us. And how you've done all of this for us. Lord, we praise you tonight, and I ask you to help us, regardless of what may be going on in our lives today or even in our emotions, I ask you to lift up our eyes, lift up our hearts to you, that we would not only be filled with joy, but we'd be absolutely blown away by how good you are. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okie dokie. Oh, give thanks to the, this is Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. First of all, he's good. You and I have a hard time with the, I have a hard time with the word good, because it is often, you know, we have our own ideas of what good would be, and usually it's just when I'm feeling good, that's good. But God has a greater good always in mind for us. And is this, this has been attributed to King David, this psalm has, by some commentators. I don't know, it doesn't say. But when you consider Israel's history and everything they had been through, and through the chastenings they had been through the beatings they took at the hands of the Assyrians, at the hands of the Babylonians and such, and then here it is saying, well, God is good. Yes, God is good, because God is always doing a deeper work in his people through even the most difficult circumstances. And that good is that one day we're going to be with him in glory. And he is on our side. That is like, psh. So God is good. And what makes him good is that he is compassionate. It says, for his mercy endures forever. And it will never go away. God's mercy will never go away. His compassion, his care for us. And so the psalmist wanted to make it clear. This is the God of gods. This is the Lord of lords. This is not just one particular god of the pagans, as they would have their favorite gods and such, or their favorite idols. But this is to the creator of the universe, and he is Lord of all. And so for the first thing, he is God and he is good. So, and his mercy endures forever. So give thanks. Give thanks to him for that. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever, as he had done all of these things for us. So verses 4 through 9 deal with creation, and that he has made all of these things for us because of his mercy toward us. And these are all gifts to us. And notice in verse 5, to him who by wisdom made the heavens. By wisdom made the heavens, not just because God's a genius, but he thought it all the way through. And you know, we talk about wisdom, the word in the Hebrew is by its intelligence, discretion, reason, skillfulness, understanding, wisdom. And so when he made the heavens and the earth, he had the whole picture of all things going on in his mind. And it wasn't just like, oh, I'll just make this because I can. I'll make this when I can. I'll put people on there. Oh, no. He had forethought in the entire process. It was by his perfect wisdom. Also, verse 6 is a little confusing. Him who laid out the earth above the waters. The word in the Hebrew for above is above or over or upon or against. And as one commentator puts it, that it could be better read that he made the earth besides the waters, close by them, and yet secures the earth from being covered by them. And so as here we are on land, it's above the waters, and that's that. And so just the psalmist being poetic, putting it all together, and just looking at all creation, and just reminding me of a song that we ought to sing. So we think about Psalm 8, right? And but you know, just looking at all creation, look at the moon, the stars, and say, "Wow, God, you did this for me. You did this because you're even compassionate toward me." And so we praise him and we thank him because he is the God of gods, because he is good, and because he has created all things. Now, verse 10. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand, with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. I think I went one verse too far. Doesn't look too merciful to the Egyptians, but it is certainly merciful toward God's people. God had a plan for his people, and when we talk about his mercy, it is for anyone who would come to him in faith. And the Lord chose Israel, and he poured out his mercy on them as they cried out from Egypt. And they begged God to save them. He heard their cry, sent Moses. And verse 10 deals with the final plague of the 10 plagues that God sent to Egypt in order to release his people, as God judged the firstborn of Egypt. And as a result of that, verse 11 brought them out. And then he divided the Red Sea. We talked about that this morning, didn't we? Divided the Red Sea, they ran through it, and then he put the Red Sea all over the Egyptians. And that was that. One reason that we need to thank the Lord, one of the billions of reasons, one reason is history. This is Israel's history, why they exist at all. You and I, Christians, I'm only talking to Christians. If you're not a Christian, you cannot relate to this. But you have a story. You have history with the Lord. How he bailed you out. When we were crying out to him, what did he do? He rescued us. He heard our cry. Even in the midst of our greatest wickedness, he heard our cries and delivered us, opened our eyes, changed our lives. And so, if you are willing to remember your history, regardless of the present, you're going to be able to thank the Lord from your heart. You are going to be able to say from your heart, his mercy endures forever. I think also just history anyway, I think, you know, what about, oh no, you know what, I'll get to that when we get to these other verses. Check it out. Verse 16, to him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down kings, for his mercy endures forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. Turn back to Psalm 135 for a second and say, hey, look at verses 10 through 12 of Psalm 135. He defeated many nations, slew mighty kings, Sihon king of Amorites, Og king of Bashan, and all the kings of the Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his people. So this, the psalmist kind of stole from the other psalm. I don't know if he wrote both of them, and you know, I write a lot of songs, and they start sounding the same after a while. But all you have to do is wedge his mercy endures forever in between every one of those lines, and you've got Psalm 136. But the remembrance of what happened in Numbers chapter 21, as God's people are going through the wilderness, and he was bringing them to that place where he put them in the promised land. Now, in doing so, the Amorites wouldn't let them through, wouldn't let the Israelites pass through. They said, let's just let us pass through. And they said, no, you're not going to pass through. We're going to stand in battle against you. And so God wiped them out. And I think about the fact that these were famous kings that God wiped out. But God is the King of Kings. And so whatever fame these guys had, it turned into infame. They were famous, now they're infamous. And God became the most famous as a result of their rebellion against God and against God's people. So, anyway, so God gave their land, which was just east of the Jordan River, to Israel and brought them into the promised land. Now, you might be saying that, wait a minute, this morning we were talking about how they all dropped dead in the wilderness and didn't go to the promised land. No, that was only all but two of them, but their children were the ones that made it into the promised land. And that's where I kind of wanted to get to this whole thing about knowing your history, just your personal history, and always remembering that, telling yourself that story again and again, because it is a miracle that you're saved, number one. Secondly, I know I'm getting weird, but it's a miracle that you and I are people at all. What I mean is, go back into all of history and see all the battles that have taken place, those who died in battle, those who survived, those who miraculously survived. Do you realize after all of these, let's see, about 1,500 years before Jesus came, then another 2,000, 3,500 years since the Exodus, 3,500 years of generations of people, many of them dying off for one reason or another, either killed or battle or disease or whatever, and somehow, some way, all of your ancestors made it. That's weird. That you are a human being is a miracle. How did it happen? I don't know if this is true. This is legend in my family. My mother has a collection of Indian, you know, pottery and baskets, and American Indian pottery, baskets and beads and things like this that were from the 1800s. Now, we got those because my family, a few generations ago, were coming out from Illinois. And as legend has it, their wagon train, this is my family, okay? Their wagon train was ambushed by Indians. And legend has it that the wagons that were my family, they didn't try to fight back, and they just surrendered themselves to the Indians while the rest tried to fight back, and the Indians killed them. And my family was left alone and stayed with the Indians for a time. And then the Indians sent them on their way and said, here, take all this stuff. And so we have all of these things, and my family survived. And now I get to tell you about Jesus. It's weird. Why did my family survive? Or Rich found out that my great-great-great-great-something-great-grandfather on my great mother's side or something like that. If you need to know anything about that, talk to Rich. But who came over as a part of the original colonies because he was a thief, and they gave him a choice. You can either go to jail or you can be sent to the colonies. And so he says, I'll be sent to the colonies. And all the family that survived through all of that, the disease and all of the everything, and now here I am. Now, you have stories like that back in your family. Why are you alive? Why are you alive? God planned for you, and it was a miracle that he got you this far. Then he saved you. That's his mercy on you. On you. His mercy on me. I think that he would have our families survive and give us life, then give us eternal life. Honestly, if you and I would just have that at the forefront of everything we are and everything we do, we wouldn't have one more mopey day. Because his mercy endures forever. Verse 23, who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever, and rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. And so, the Lord, remember, this is written by the Jews. This was written by an Israelite. And God remembered them in their lowly state. That should be probably in Egypt, or it could be in any lowly state, because Israel had found themselves in lowly states over and over and over and over again. And the amazing thing about our God and the proof of his mercy, his compassion in finding us in our lowly state, is the fact that that lowly state was most often brought on by their own sinfulness. The reason that they had to be rescued from their enemies, which God would do, is because God allowed the enemies to come into their lives because they were disobedient to God. And the fact is this for you and me, the Lord remembered us in our lowly state, and should you and I have a lowly state tomorrow, he'll remember us. And he'll rescue us from our enemies. He will rescue us as we belong to him. Our enemies, okay, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. There is something going on behind the curtain that it's a spiritual battle, demons. And yet, God will deliver us and rescue us from them. Do not fear demons. Don't get weird on me. But that's God's fight. But we also have other enemies. And I think our greatest enemy might be ourselves. Our own sin, our own brains. And if we are willing to come to him in our lowly state, come to him in humility, that one enemy, that worst enemy, ourselves, will be dealt with. And the Lord will rescue us. Even from our own sin and our own foolishness. Verse 25 is kind of funny. He gives food to all flesh. Not just you and me. He provides for us, right? He's provided for us all the way to this day. But all flesh. He feeds all the animals all over the world. He put this world in motion. He sent it spinning around and spinning around the sun and then all the universe and all that. And he just keeps feeding everybody. He sustains all life. He sustains your life. And you and I never need to worry about what we're going to eat. Unless they want to feed me Chinese food. I just don't like Chinese food. Sorry, that was my own thing. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. All of this is an act of his mercy toward us. The Lord sees you. The Lord knows you. He knows your trouble. He knows your state. He knows what you did yesterday. He knows what you did today. He knows what you're going to do next week. You don't even know what it is. And he's merciful toward you. He pours it out on you. He thinks of you all the time. Those of you with children, you know how much you love your children. The Lord loves you more. You have compassion on your children. The Lord's got more compassion. And he's in it for you. And because of that, you and I are going to sing tonight. But I want us to again, I think last week we talked about it a little bit, but just focus on, rather than singing in order to find some sort of experience from him, instead of asking him for anything, let's just get real here. He has given us everything. He has given us everything. And there's one thing left for you and me to do, and that's just to surrender to him, offer him the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God the Father. What has he done for you? Has God done anything for you? Anything? 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 Well, let's sing to him. Let's give him the thanks he deserves. Father, I want to thank you so much. We thank you for your mercy in our lives. We thank you that regardless of the situation, you are working your mercy out in us. And so tonight, Lord, may we sing to you with all our hearts. May you bring to our remembrance the things that you have done for us. Lord, we all want to thank you, even now, for saving us, for the day you saved us. We want to thank you for walking with us along the way, growing us up, causing us to know you better. And Lord, may this not just be a time of thanksgiving, but maybe the beginning of just walking in thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.